And we've been going through our study through Mark and the Gospel of Mark. And so we're going to focus on Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44 today. And we find that Jesus had sent his disciples out to do ministry. And in the meantime, we learn more about John the Baptist being beheaded. And we can imagine how that must have broken Jesus' heart whenever he found out about his cousin John. And we see that the disciples came back to Jesus here whenever we get to chapter 6, verse 30. And we'll just pick it up there at verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." Let's pray again as we're looking at this area of Scripture. Dear Father, we pray that you would teach us about the compassion of Christ as we look at these words. And so help us to break this down. Help us to also be able to put it into practice in our lives that we can be more like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at these verses and we kind of see how things were going for Jesus, we realize that even Jesus needed some quiet rest sometimes. Do I get an amen? You know, he had flesh. He experienced the weakness of the feeling of the weakness of flesh. And sometimes we just need a break. Have you ever felt that way before? You just need a break. Well, you know, our compassion will be tested during those times whenever, while we are needing that break, there's others who still have needs who come to us. I think that one of the ways I've noticed this can be tested is in having children. Sometimes you're just needing a break. I can appeal to the moms in our crowd here, I'm sure, and the dads. But I've watched my wife many times whenever I knew she needed rest, stay up with a sick child all night long and just spend that time with them. I've seen her do it without complaining. And I've seen her do it that in that next morning, I would actually hear her praising the Lord for the special moments that she had with that child throughout the night. And you know, I'm thinking, like, that's the kind of love and compassion that Jesus has for us. So you can imagine, like, they had a lot that they were going to go over. There was a lot to talk about. And so he says, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." Man, guys, they were so burdened with people that they couldn't even find a chance to eat sometimes. Have you ever been there? Like, you just needed a minute just to have a little break, and there were still people coming in with needs. One time we went on a mission trip to Mexico, and it was kind of like that for us in that there were just such great needs for counseling that a lot of times lunchtime and dinner time would be the time to do premarital counseling for a lot of the young couples that were getting ready to be married. You know, I appreciated seeing this text at that time because sometimes I felt like, man, I just need a break. I just need a couple minutes. But you see, Jesus was reminding me through this text here that there's a time for ministry. And you know when that time for ministry is? Is when you have the opportunity. When there's a need. You know, many times we'd like to tell the other person, you just need to come back later. But you know what? The best time to minister to them is when they have that point of need. God will provide what we need in due time. You see, it pulled at the compassion of Christ. His compassion was put to the test there in verse 33. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And so his compassion was going to be put to the test. So let's see what his compassionate heart looks like in verse 34. And when he came out, he saw the great multitude, was moved with compassion for them. Why? I love this statement. Because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. Guys, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of lost people out there. I don't know if y'all have noticed, but lost people do strange things. Lost people look at things from a very strange standpoint. I hope that you can maybe remember in your own life before you came to know Christ. I can remember myself because I came at 30, that I didn't look at things from the same perspective. I didn't have all of the information, you might say, that I have now. You see, I have the Holy Spirit living in me now who helps me to see things more properly. And so a lot of times the church, I'm afraid we can become to a point where we feel like we're a little holier than everyone else. And we can forget, guys, that they don't have all the tools that they need. And so whenever we see their needs, whenever we see that maybe they're not looking at things quite properly, whenever we see and recognize some of these things, rather than despising them, we need to ask for the spirit that Jesus had. When he saw them, he just saw that they needed a shepherd. Who was that shepherd who they needed? It was him. Nothing else could substitute. Nothing else could suffice. He was it. And there was only one of him to go around, but I can tell you, he took that as an opportunity to feed them. And it's interesting because a lot of times we think of feeding as only being, you know, physical feeding, which that's going to come in a moment. But really what he did was begin to feed them spiritually first. So he began to teach them many things. Guys, I can tell you, not all those folks got it right away either. It took a lot of patience. In fact, some of them probably never got it. But what we know is some of them did. And it was for those ones who would that Jesus continued to teach. Look at his own disciples, his own apostles. Many of them didn't seem to get it until kind of the last hour. But Jesus continued to teach. Jesus continued to be compassionate. He has that compassionate heart that he could see beyond the difficulty. He could see beyond the discomfort. He could see beyond even just his own needs that his flesh needed at that point. And he could see to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter was that they were like sheep without a shepherd. May we have the eyes of Christ when we look at the crowds. May we remember, so we would be if we didn't know Christ. The only difference between a lost individual and where we are, where we sit today as one who's saved in Christ, literally is Jesus. He's the only difference. Jesus even had compassion on their physical needs. As we continue to read on there, we can see that the disciples began to get the idea that it was getting late. And this crowd had followed them a long ways to get where they were at, and they were kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So we pick it up in verse 35. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" You have any idea how much 200 denarii was in their culture? A denarius was one day's wage. So this would be like 200 days' wages that they're saying it would take to try to feed a crowd as big as what they were looking at. So that would be like two-thirds of a year's worth of work for an individual. And so they kind of got the idea that there was going to be a great need here. They could see the need. And so they're thinking, this is beyond us to be able to do this. This would take literally a miracle. But after he had answered them this, he actually had a plan. And that's what I want us to remember, guys, is whenever he has that compassion on their physical needs, and as we show compassion, Here's the thing. He does miracles. Do I get an amen on this one? He's the one who's able to do miracles. And so we go on in verse 38, but he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, "Five loaves and two fish. Five and two fish." And he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. Do you know how big a loaf was back then? It would have been like a little flat loaf of bread, probably maybe somewhere in the neighborhood about that big around. And so they had five little flat loaves and just a couple small fish is all they had. Does it sound like enough to feed 5,000 plus people? It really doesn't. But here's the thing, guys, even if it isn't enough, what we need to be willing to do is offer what we have. And if we'll just offer what we have out of compassion, and we match the compassion that Jesus already has, his amazing grace, what we're going to find is God will do something with it. God will do something with it. And God will do a miracle through it. He's just wanting us to be willing to offer what we do have. And so Jesus really did have compassion even on their physical needs. And as we begin to meet him at his point of compassion, he's going to do miracles. So then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the grass. So they ate. They sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the two fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. In another gospel, we realize that along with those 5,000 men, they would have had wives and children and all kinds of people with them. So guys, there could have been as many as 20,000 people here who ate from this very small offering. What I want you to know is whatever you have to offer back to Jesus is significant because he's the one who does the miracle. And you know what? He does it to increase the faith. So there's a physical need that's there that they came to Jesus and they had physical needs. And rather than despising them for their physical needs and despising them for their lostness, Jesus sees and he meets them at their point of need. First thing he does is he teaches them. He gives them spiritual instruction. And then he sees their physical need, meets them at that point because he wants to show them something even greater. He's the God of miracles. And I can tell you guys, if we will just follow this prescription and just being willing to be available, being willing to be compassionate, being willing to meet people at their point of needs and let Jesus do something. We don't have to do the something, guys. We just offer him what we got and we let him do the something. So when you see someone who's down and out or someone who's sick or someone who has a need, someone who, you know, I can't heal anyone. I can't fix all of their problems. But do you know what I can do? I can be willing to talk to them about it. I can be willing to pray with them about it. I can be willing to offer whatever resources that might be available to me as I pray in the name of Jesus. And then I watch him do the miracle. And I have watched him do miracle after miracle after miracle to prove that he is who he says he is. And guys, I'm going to tell you, I think that we're going to see people in heaven someday because we are willing to meet them at their point of need. And so we just want to praise God for the compassion of Christ because you know what? One day he looked down on you, he looked down on me, and he looked at us. And rather than seeing the knucklehead that I was, he looked at me and he said, "John wouldn't be that way if he knew me." And so he began to do things in my life. He began to draw me to him. He began to show me just exactly who he is, so that then whenever I came to know him and have come to know him as my Lord and Savior, then he would send his Spirit to live in me. And I can tell you that looking at it from this side is so much different than what it was like looking at it from the other side. And so I want to praise God that I know Christ, and now I want him to use me to bring others to him. And may you be used of God as well. If you're willing, ask Jesus. Ask Jesus in your own personal time. Ask him to let you see people like he sees people. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's a little intimidating whenever we ask that question because we know it's going to challenge us. But I can tell you, it's a challenge that's worth taking that chance to do. I did this one time, and God sent me to a foreign land to do a mission trip. And while I was there, I became so heartbroken over this lostness of the individuals in the country that I was in. And I began to weep at one point. And I'm just going to be honest with you. It wasn't what I expected. I'm not a crier, just by general terms. But we began to pray for the people and the lostness in the city that we were in Sri Lanka. And people had come from all over the world to worship a tooth. They thought it was Buddha's tooth. It could have been anybody's tooth, really. They had built this entire city and this big, huge temple, and it had this tooth in this temple, and people would come from all over the world to worship this tooth. And I'm just going to say, I've knelt down to pray with a group of prayer warriors one afternoon, and God spoke into my heart, and he said, I have died for them. I have given my life for them, and they are here to worship someone's tooth, but they won't worship me. They don't know me. And I'm just going to say that it broke my heart to the point that I cried for hours. I cried for hours. I was a basket case. My mission team didn't know what to do with me. I couldn't even get up off the floor at first. And so a little later on, after about maybe 3 hours of this had gone past, I got on the phone and I called my wife. And I said, man, I just need somebody to pray with me and help me get some perspective here because I don't know what's going on. And I'm just going to tell you, God spoke to me in that moment. He said, didn't you pray and ask me to let you see people like I see them? And I'm just going to tell you, lostness has broken my heart from that day on like I never was able to see it before. It breaks Jesus' heart. He is saddened by the lostness. He's not angry about the lostness. He's not walking around just wanting to pound people down because they're lost. Guys, he wants them to come to know him. You know how I know? Because he was willing to die for them. While he was hanging on the cross, he was saying, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. He's asking for those who are driving the nails to be forgiven. Guys, you know who drove those nails? It was me and you. We weren't there in person that day, but our sin was already known. Jesus died for us. That's the kind of compassion that he has. Let's pray, and then we're going to open the altar for a time of confession and prayer for anyone that might be touched in the heart today. You know, it talks about it in Scripture that sometimes we're cut to the heart. Message comes across, and the Holy Spirit speaks into our hearts, and it can cause us to have conviction. What do we do when we have conviction over a matter or an issue? Might be leading unto our salvation. It could be the point at which we're saved. Sometimes we just realize that God is speaking to us, and he wants us to take a step closer to him. So what should be our proper response? I think is responding to him with a yes. So let's pray, and then we're going to open the altar during a song of invitation. And then after that, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. So let's have a time of heart preparation. Dear Father, we come to you, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, as well, to give us your heart for people. Help us to see people like you see people. Help us to that our heart would be surrendered to you and set apart. And Lord, it might cause us to have a time of brokenness for others, and that seems a little scary sometimes. But Lord, it's worth the risk. Yeah. I pray that you would help us to see others like you see them, that you would give us a compassion in our heart and help us to realize that lost people do foolish things because they're lost. They wouldn't do those same things if they were saved. And so the answer really is Christ. So help us to be a part of the answer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. To all families.